so come confess. Know that you are holy. Oh, we'll sing of hallelujah. We will cry of hallelujah. All the
I'm resting. plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in a desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will trust to say, when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
God to me, how great We're going to be singing a song that was written by Alyssa, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of a background on this song, when it was written last beginning of September, end of August. We were on a canoe trip with the young people, and on the way home, when we got back to our vehicles, we got a call, and we heard that our Oma-to-be for Rachel, Helen Redekop, had passed away, and it was a long ride home. I was driving my truck, and I had the twins, Rachel and the other Rachel Redekop, in my truck. I think we went through a box of Kleenexes on the way home, and Alyssa penned these words 2 days after the funeral, I believe, and it was just, of course, it was a sad experience, but the verse that kept coming through in this time was 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I believe. I'll double check. Yeah, at the end, it says, "We sorrow not as others do, which have no hope, because we have a hope." And if you read in the second verse, "He's our light when things seem darkest, and our hope when all seems lost." And the hope we've heard about every night this week in the gospel meeting, the hope of salvation. And we, in the chorus, the last phrase there, it says that His forevermore will be. And there's just another chance, if there's anyone here in this auditorium tonight that doesn't have this hope, that when they die, they don't know where they're going, there is a hope for you. And there's a verse that says, I might not get it exactly right, but how blessed it is for the death of the saints, because it's not death really, it's asleep in Jesus, and it's really another victory for Christ and the finished work on the cross that He did for us. And tonight, I was just informed of another victory that has happened today, is that the Lord was pleased to call our brother Leslie Grant home this evening. And so we sing this song and pay attention to the words. And I just pray for each one of you, especially those who may not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and who don't have this hope, where forevermore will be with the Lord.
Everlasting arms, with a smile on His face, and a joy. joy in his heart, he calls us all in his everlasting arms, that his forevermore will be. He calls us all in his everlasting arms, with a smile on his face and a joy in his heart, he calls us all in his everlasting arms, that his forevermore will be, that his forevermore will be.
I'm going to call some of the young people up. But before I do that, and we're going to sing a couple of songs, hymns, from the Spiritual Songs hymn book. But you know, as we're here sitting in our seats tonight, it isn't by coincidence that we were just informed of the passing of our dear brother, Leslie. It isn't by coincidence that this hymn that was just sung was on the schedule to be sung at this time. The Lord's timing and his ways in every detail. He is the one that is above all and over all. But what a victory. We heard tonight in the gospel meeting that a saint of God will never perish. Never perish. And here we have our dear brother Leslie, who has been called home to be with his precious Lord and Savior. Any of those of us who knew him, you would know that he loved his precious Lord. Any of you that have written or read any of the books that he has written can tell by the words that have been penned that he loved his precious Lord and Savior. And what a victory to think that he's been called home. And we're going to sing a hymn tonight. It's a favorite one to many of us. Soon will the Master come. Soon pass away our times of conflict, our times of grief, and times of suffering here. Our night of weeping end in cloudless day, and sorrow's moment like a dream appear, eternity with Jesus in the skies. Eternity with Jesus in the skies. And it isn't by coincidence that this message of the gospel is continuing to go out to you tonight. And as we've been so challenged and so asked tonight over and over again, are you saved and ready? Are you ready to meet your Maker? But for those of us who know him, what a victory. A victory to be with forever that precious one who loved you, who loved me, who died for me. And there's coming a day when we shall forever be with him, all blood-bought saints. And so we wait for that day. As we've just heard in this hymn, he calls us home in his everlasting arms. With a smile on his face and a joy in his heart, he calls us home in his everlasting arms that his forever will be. So though we sorrow, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. But we also joy in the victory and the realization of the victory
that has been won again.
Yeah.
Young peoples, we were studying together the book of Joshua. We looked at the first five chapters of the book. And this evening, I just would like to read one verse only from the book of Joshua, the last chapter, chapter 24. Verse 15, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, comma, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We were privileged this week to witness together the greatest military operation that have taken place in that time, Operation Promised Land. We had clearance to go into the war room and to watch and to hear the military instruction given by the commander-in-chief to General Joshua. We were privileged to take in what he was told and to apply it to us. After all, we have learned that the word of God, that which is written for us. I want to raise a challenge with you this evening and a request from those who sponsor you, your parents, brothers and sisters that brought you in here. We have seen in the book of Joshua the secret for good success. Clearly stated in chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. The commander told Joshua, this book of the law, this book, let it not depart from your mouth. You meditate on it day and night. Don't go to the right hand, don't go to the left hand, and you will have a good success. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. And as these words were true and good for Joshua, they are true and good for you. He told him that you are going in a pathway that you have not crossed before. Tomorrow, if the Lord leaves us here, we are leaving. You probably have a plan. You know which highway you're going to take. You know what you will do in the next few weeks before school or college or university start again. But I think it was clear, even tonight, in the gospel message, that you don't know the way that you are going to go through. And what was the instruction? Keep your eyes on the ark. Keep your eyes on the ark. And we have learned that the ark is a type of the Lord Jesus. How do you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus? This book again. this book again. You read this book. You meditate on this book. The instruction, just like it was for that great military operation with the word of the Lord. The instruction of how to go to the land was in the word of the Lord. The instruction for your daily life is in the word of the Lord. And then we came to that majestic scene in chapter 3. Remember, we were embedded with the troops. We went with them to see what will take place. Joshua is a very brilliant military general. They teach his strategy in the war colleges. He sent his CIA agents. He sent the two operatives, the spies, to collect intelligence. They came back and they confirmed what God had purpose. And this is the assurance that we have. God have promised that he will bring his people into this land. Egypt slavery, Pharaoh's subtle wiles, or fierce power. The Red Sea, the desert with all its harshness. The murmuring of the people, they did not stop God from accomplishing his purposes. And God's purposes will succeed, will be fulfilled. We were told, whatever the promises of God, they are. In him are yea, and in him are amen. Joshua took courage. His commander-in-chief is true to his word. But now he has before him the Jordan. Just like the ark is a type of the Lord Jesus, we have learned that the Jordan is a type of death. He doesn't have a Navy SEAL to go and build bridges or to scuba dive under that river or to do something. But he has the power of the living God. He said to them that you would know that the living God is among you. And here are the priests carrying the ark, walking across this muddy, fierce water. And the moment their feet touch the water, Jordan ran away, fled 20 miles back. The Lord Jesus had conquered death, the most powerful entity in the universe, ran away in the presence of the Son of God. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? If we follow him, just like he given instruction, and keep our eyes on him, it doesn't matter what it is. Victory is ours. We have learned that not only he died, but we died with him. But that wasn't the end of the story. Joshua will take 12 stones from the deepest point of the River Jordan and sit them on the other side, on the side of resurrection. And he, in a New Testament language, is saying, just like you died with him, you are also risen with him on the other side, that you might walk in the newness of life. And here before their eyes, the beautiful land of Canaan, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, it's all theirs to enjoy. What is that to you and I? We have heard some of it in the gospel meetings this evening. Redemption, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, the presence of the Holy Spirit, being a child of God, having access to the Father, the priesthood of all of the believer, the headship of Christ, the lordship of Christ. It's all yours and much, 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 much more that I could not stand here and tell you about it. It's in this book. It's all yours. And all you have to do is to go and enjoy it. And then he told them to enjoy that. The old man in you would not appreciate it, would not enjoy it. Make a sharp knife and cut the flesh off. Because the flesh could not enjoy or appreciate or take hold of the blessings. And young people, listen to me. You have it. And you have the knife. And it's very sharp. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. Use it. Apply it. They tell you in the world, you're very important. They tell you, you are it. The whole world goes around because of you. You are the center of the universe. And you have to make it known. And you have to live it. God said, you put that to death. Because the flesh profiteth nothing. And it's a very hard lesson to learn. But that's the only mean by which you could go and enjoy the land. For a soldier, you need a good commander. You need a good instruction. You need a good armors. And you need a good diet. And I believe those people that crossed the Jordan were the only people that on the 13th day of the month, the first month of the year, they ate manna. On the 14th day of the month, they ate manna and Passover lamb. And on the 15th day of the month, they ate the Passover lamb and the old corn of the land. It never happened before. In Egypt, they ate only the roasted lamb, the Passover lamb. In the wilderness, one time, they had the roasted lamb and the manna every day. But on that day, these people only have that privilege. But you and I could feed on Christ. His person, his work, his life as a man on earth and as a man in the glory in his resurrection. Now, having seen all of that, Joshua now is old. He's going to be passing away from this scene, just like many older brothers. If the Lord leaves us here, and tonight we have heard of one. Now he gathered all the troops again. He gathered all the people again. And he rehearsed before them what God had done. He said to them in verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. He told them in verse 11, and ye went over the Jordan. He told them in verse 13, and I have given you the land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and vineyard and oliveyard, which ye planted not to eat. Now therefore, verse 14, listen up. Fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers serve on the other side of the flood in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. He's telling that to people who have crossed the Jordan already. He's telling that to people that inherited the land already. And he said, you need to make a choice when you go back. I'm gone. You have to make a choice. And as we have heard in the gospel meeting, even that choice, I could not make it for you. You have to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? You know what's in your tents. You know what's in your rooms. You know what's on your computer. You know what's on your iPod. You know what's on your iPhone. You might think nobody else sees it or knows it. Well, the Lord does. And he's giving you a choice tonight. Are these gods going to entangle you? Remember We talked about material things that entangle two tribes and a half and got them stuck on the other side of the Jordan. Are you going to get entangled with material things and make a wrong choice and have these gods controlling you? You are going home. For a whole week you were sheltered. Spiritual atmosphere. Meetings. Going to the dining room. Going to the gym. Meetings. That's a good life. I could live for another 1,000 years like that. I would not complain. Even if it's hot here. I'll take it any time. But we have to go home tomorrow. And we are going to make choices. You're responsible for what you heard. And the Lord would require it from you. You have heard it day after day. And the Lord is asking you, what are you going to do with what you have heard? What kind of soldier are you going to be? It's a warfare. And Satan is everywhere trying to entangle you, trying to take your armor from you, trying to take your food from you. He's not telling you, listen, I am the devil. I am coming here to take everything that you have. He's not going to tell you that, trust me. He's just going to get you in a couple of days, because he's smart. He knows you're going back, you're still warm, you're still hot. He's just going to wait a couple of days, and then he's going to get you entangled. Make a choice. That's what Joshua said. Choose you. Who are you going to serve? That verse, I believe I have seen it in every Christian home. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. You go to any Christian homes, there is somehow on the wall somewhere that verse. I want to ask those of you who have brought young peoples here. Brother Chuck, every night, stood up here and said, did you check on the person that you brought? Sponsor, raise up your hand. Parents, raise your hands. Did you check on your children? Do you know what your young peoples are doing? Well, I wish I could record that and send it back home with you. That every night you would be remembered. You would remember what was said. Would I ask you, when you go back, because Joshua made that decision for himself and for his household. He said, as for me, I will serve the Lord. No. As for me and for my house, he took responsibility for those younger ones around him. Dear brothers and sisters, in your meeting hall, take care of the young peoples. Look after them. Many of them are struggling. Many of them are looking for fathers and mothers, spiritual ones. Don't just approach them when they make a mistake. Coach them. Bring them under your wings. Who's going to fill the shoes of Brother Leslie Grant? Got to be a younger brother, a younger sister. Are we preparing the younger generation? But if the Lord leaves us here, there will be those one who takes responsibility of the Lord. Choose ye today whom ye shall serve. I'm asking you to take care, please, by the help of the Lord, of the young peoples in your local meeting. Ask them, where do they learn? What do you read? Have they read? Have they come to the meeting? How they're doing at school? Be close to them. It is worth the investment of the time. But now, my final word is for the men and women in the military force, in the Lord's army. Those of you who are in uniform, those of you who are with us in the young people session, I want you to stand up. You young people who were with me, with Tony, John, and I, stand up. And I want you to stand up like a soldier will stand up in attention. Because I am going to read to you. No, you don't have to salute. I want to read to you another commandment from another general, a New Testament one, the Old Testament general was Joshua. And the commander-in-chief, the captain, the prince of the host of the Lord, give him instruction. In the New Testament, another general, the Apostle Paul, and the captain of salvation have given him instruction. And that instruction is for you and I, all of those of us who one day in Sunday school have sung, I am in the Lord's army, yes sir. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to listen up. That's the instruction for you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all persevering and supplication for all the saints. Amen. Sit down.